I want to recap what Pastor Cedric has been teaching over this past series. He's teaching on the purposes of the church. Can you say that with me? Purposes of the church. There's five purposes. The first one was discipleship, where we become a model of Christ's character. That's the first thing that God has to start to do in us when we come to church. Our goal is to become like Jesus. The second purpose that Pastor taught on was evangelism, that once Christ starts working on you, God wants you to go and be a messenger of his love. The third purpose was that he wants you to have fellowship. He wants you to be a member of his body. He wants you to belong to his body and not be out drifting and separate and be the lone wolf, as they say, but to be integrated, to be a part of the body of Christ, and that there is acceptance and love in the body of Christ. The fourth was service. And I know that Pamela Green has been practicing what Pastor said. So I'm going to let her stand up and say it because she said it moved in her life. Tell us, what was the slogan? Ministry is service. Service is ministry. Can you say that with me? Ministry is service. Service is ministry. I'm always blown away when someone remembers something that the pastor said because I know it got down into their heart. But today, I want to share with you, which is actually my role in the church, and that is to be a magnifier, a worshiper, a praise vessel of God's glory, a magnifier of the name of Jesus. And I want you to say with me, we were created to praise and worship God. Let's say it again. We were created to praise and worship God. Now, that is a positive thing. That's an incredible thing to find out. Did you know that when we go to heaven, the praise never stops there? Praise is 24/7, thousands, if not millions, of songs playing at the same time, and the glory of God is, I mean, that's why everything is perfect in heaven, because praise is never ceasing. It's never ceasing. And God wants us to live with heaven on earth. Amen. I will never forget the day that God called me out of the world. He said, Luann, leave the world behind, and I want you to devote your life to worshiping me. I was literally at a crossroads. The world was throwing so many opportunities at me, at my husband. The problem was that those opportunities were pulling me from God, and they were pulling me from my beautiful little girl, Bree. I didn't have Cameron then. But most of all, these musical opportunities were pulling me from a very sweet relationship with Jesus. God never pulls us from the things that are treasured by him. God actually draws us to him, never away from him. So I knew that what was pulling me from God was not of God. When we put God first, he blesses everything we do. One of the ways that you can know that you're a worshiper is look at your checkbook. Look at your checkbook and see if you obey the tithe and the offerings. It's your spiritual form of worship. Look at your calendar and see if God is first. See, God is God, and you can't fit him into your life. He needs to be your life. When he is your life, everything else is directed and fits in the way he says. See, he's the creator of the puzzle. So when he is first, trust me, he will be first in those two things. Amen? Okay. So your checkbook and your calendar are a picture of your heart. They are a picture of where God is in your life. One day I was deep in prayer when we lived in Los Angeles. This was over 20 years ago. And Garth Brooks' company had offered me a country music deal. They had had me go to Oklahoma to take pictures. The problem was they asked for the pictures to be more sensual than I was comfortable with. So I got out my checkbook and I wrote them a check for all the costs, and it was almost everything I had, and our mortgage was due. And I walked away. I knew at that moment that I could not be bought by Satan. He did not own me. I had been bought with a price. And that price brought me dignity. That price, I knew, would provide for me, and I did not have to sell out my dignity and my righteousness for fame or to sell alcohol. Amen? I knew that there would be many tests after that, because the Lord tests our hearts in the desert. Get excited about your desert, because your desert is a bridge to your future and your destiny. And how you handle your destiny, your desert, will determine your destiny. Don't complain in the desert. Get excited, because it's the bridge to great things. Amen? Satan has a pretty good pulse on what your price is. Satan has a pretty good idea of what you might sell out for. So you want to know that ahead of time so you can trump him, right? See, opportunities were coming from left and right in huge clubs. But there was an ache in my heart that there was something that my life meant more. There was more to life than people liking my songs and buying liquor. There was more to my life. There had to be more. So I was praying and I was fasting. And I heard God's voice say, "Luann, quit the clubs, clear your calendar. Walk away." At that moment, I got up, I dialed the phone, and I quit. The manager was very upset, and I said, "I'm sorry, I have to obey God. Have a good life." The next day, the phone rang, and a man asked me to come and sing one of my Christian songs at a big church near Palm Springs. When I was singing with the worship team, I had something happen that had never happened before. I had a holy experience with God. God transported me from the stage to the condo where we lived, and I could see myself playing the piano and singing my heart out. And God said, "Do that. Do that, and I'll provide for you." When the song was over, I asked everybody on the stage if I had kept singing, and they said, "Yes, why?" I said, "So I kept singing, I didn't stop?" They said, "No, you were singing." So I went to the worship pastor, and I told him what happened. And he took me to the senior pastor of that church, and that man was leaving that church and was going to plant a church in Auburn, and he invited me to be his worship leader. It was while I was worshiping, after I had obeyed and not sold out, that God told me my destiny. That was the birthing of the call on my life. And I stand here today, I'm almost 53, I call it 52-rific. Somebody gave me a name for 53, but I forget it. But I stand to you today that God has met every need. He has met every need. I entered into a life of faith. It was faith. See, worship is also the assignment on your life. You might not play the piano, you might not play the guitar, but you were created to worship and praise the Lord. I want to draw your attention to Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. And I like to say, he lifted me out of those clubs, out of the mud and the mire. And he set my feet on a rock. And he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my heart, in my mouth, I apologize, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. There are two elements of worship that I want to bring to your mind. The first one is celebration, and it's the name of our church. Our church was named because it was birthed out of praise and worship. Celebration is a vertical dimension. See, David, this psalm was written by King David. He had an experience with the Lord. Like I had that amazing experience. God had rescued King David. He had refreshed David. And David had an experience in the presence of God. And it changed him. And he couldn't be silent. And so he sung praise to God. He said, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. David was exuberant in his song of praise. He was excited. He could not contain his joy, his happiness, his relief. King David was one of those people that just had to shout and sing. God's presence did a new and a refreshing thing in David's life, and it birthed a new song. What God did for David birthed a song of gratitude in his life. I want to ask you, when was the last time? Now, this is an easy question because you were just singing. But when was the last time, maybe in the house, in the car, even in the grocery store, pumping gas, that a song of the Lord just bubbled up in you and you just had to hum it and sing it. And when you got in your car, you had to blast it. Amen? That is the life that God wants us to live. God's presence did that refreshing thing, that new song. And there should be a new song of joy in our hearts every day. Because first of all, we belong to Jesus. The second thing that happened in David's life was horizontal. Remember, the first one was between him and God. It was God did it, and it started coming into him. And then this horizontal dimension began to happen. David said, many will see. And that is that they will know God's presence. And they will fear. That means they will revere and be in awe of him. And they will put their trust in the Lord or their security. Like when I had to transfer the big checks from the club and shut that down, and I just did what God said. I sat at that piano. And God provided. That was a life of faith. But David said, people will see me worshiping God. And when they see me worshiping God, even they will put their trust in God. Now, let me tell you something. It was so neat that when God answered David's prayer and he rescued him, that King David turned that into praise. Let me tell you what happens sometimes. People say, oh, God, bring me a job. And then God gives them a job. And they say, well, will you work Sundays? And you need to say no. Sundays is his day. And trust. Many people say, thanks, God. Our God, oh, we're having so much trouble with our kids. Oh, God, rescue our kids, rescue our kids. God rescues the kids. Where did you go? But see, King David was one of those people that when God answered his prayer, he pressed more into God. He loved God even more. And his praise to the Lord caused other people to come on board. See, when we shrink back from God, God shrinks back from us. It's not that he's moving. We think he is. We're moving from him. He's here. He's always here. He says, when you draw near to me, I draw near to you. But we got to do it his way, right? David pleased the Lord because he gave him glory after God answered his prayer. David turned to God, and because David turned to God, other people turned to God. So ask yourself, when God answers my prayers, does it draw more people to church, or do I go, see you later, thanks a lot, I'll call you when I need you? You want to go on vacation with me and split? You know, we get to choose how we respond to the greatness of God. I want to tell you something that God did in my life. Pastor asked everyone on staff to give the wish list for the legacy offering. And the Lord told me, Luann, give all the money to the kids and the youth. You only need one key fixed. But in the back of my mind, I wanted a particular Yamaha piano that had newer sounds. But I obeyed the Lord. And I said, you know what? Give all the money to the kids. Give all the money to the youth. I just need one key fixed in room 4. Cedric and I were on a date. We were shopping. A text came from a friend. That keyboard was given to me on Friday. That's God. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. But I want to tell you, when you become an exuberant worshiper, when you can't help but praise the Lord, it is one of the greatest witnesses to non-Christians. David's joy before the Lord was his witness. And we don't just worship in church, because worship should be continual. David said, your praise will always be on my lips. How many of you love to be around people that are joyful, and when they come into the room, they bring the joy? Do you like it? Okay. How many of you like to be around joy suckers? No, we run, we hide. At church, when we worship publicly and corporately, it is one of the greatest witnesses of the joy and the power of God that the world will ever see. When people are far from God and they watch people that are close to God giving heartfelt praise, they see that heartfelt worship and they're intrigued. It's as beautiful as a glorious sunrise. It is as beautiful as a waterfall in Yosemite. The praise of God's people is beautiful. It's powerful. It's packed with joy. And it's where God hangs out. And it sparks a fire in the hearts of people that are feeling low. It sparks a fire in those that have gotten quarantined and away, and the wolf has wanted to pounce. What happens in the wild kingdom when you get away from the pack and you get away from the church and you get away from the power of worship and the power of the word and you get away from the protection of Almighty God and you go out from under the cover? The devil picks them off. But if the prayers of the righteous and the praise of the righteous are drawing them back in, when they come into the fold, when they see the praise, they go, I want that. I need that. Amen. Pastor Rick Ezell says, there are two products of worship that Psalm 40, verse 3 shows us in the Bible. There is a close, vibrant relationship between worship and witness. It is reflected in two ways. People far from God are drawn close to Christ. And I don't know if the picture of worship is up there, but Glenn, if you'll put that picture of the arrow and then worship. So when we worship, that's the arrow going left. We're worshiping, okay? We're drawing close to Christ. We're praising Him. We are lifting Him up, okay? It says, spiritually lost people are drawn to Christ through worship. The diagram shows the arrow on the left side of worship. It's attracting people to God. See, it's pulling them towards His presence. When we worship, it's drawing people to God. Jesus said Himself in John 12:32, as for me, if I am lifted up on the earth, I will draw all people to myself. When we lift Jesus up in praise, it draws people to His presence. It's an attractive thing. Praise is... Did you know that even when you praise and you lift up other people, it's attractive? Amen? If you're one of those people that says, you know, I skip the worship because I'm just a word person, then you're missing one of the greatest reasons that you're alive, and you're missing one of the greatest ways that you can be a witness. You are missing the refreshing of God's presence to your soul. You are missing the chance for an unsaved person to see you pour out and lavish your love on the King of Kings. You are missing the chance to say, thank you, God. Thank you. We need to worship and we need the word. But did you know that worship prepares your heart for the seed of the word to go in? You're a package deal. You know, God called me to be a worship leader while I was worshiping. And God rescued me from sexual abuse and from being beaten as a child through worship. Worship rescued my mind. David said, God, you came and you rescued me. God rescued my mind. My mind attached like a magnet to praising and worshiping the Lord, and I left it all behind. The devil had his chance, and I was done with him. I was ready for a new life and a new way, and God gave it to me. So one day, I was asked to give a concert at Adventure Church, and I was singing the song, Fear Not. And a lady named Jenny Thornton Williamson knelt in worship to a song called Fear Not. She knelt, and the Holy Spirit put His hand and breathed upon her and said, start a ministry for sex trafficking called Courage to Be You. It's worldwide now. God rescued me from sexual abuse through worship. Then He gives me a song of worship, and as I'm worshiping, He tells a lady, go rescue thousands. It's all over the world now. Can we give God glory? That's the power of worship. That's what God does in your life when you worship, and it just keeps flowing like a river. Now He sends me all over to rescue people from problems in their minds, depression, things that they need to leave behind because He did it through me. Now I want to give it away. God wants you to do the same thing. David cited the evangelical attraction of honest worship. He said, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to you among the nations. That's Psalm 57:9. When God's people experience the presence of God, they meet God. Their heart engages with God. Their lives are changed because of God. Lost people are pulled into God's presence while we are worshiping. When Jackie Bird and I go to the Philippines, we will be praising the Lord, praying for people, and sharing the word, but the praise will go first. The praise will go first. I want to read you a quote from William Booth. He was the founder of the Salvation Army. He said, "If the church were on fire for God, people for miles would come to watch it burn." Can I say that again? If the church were on fire for God, people for miles would come to watch it burn. When people see the fire and the passion of God, they're drawn to that fire like a moth to the flame. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, God says he is drawing seekers through authentic praise and worship. Seekers might not understand the words to the song, but they understand the joy. They understand the love. Can I challenge you with something? Because God challenged me. He did some business with me. He said, "Luann, whatever steals your joy is an idol." Can I say it again? Whatever steals your joy is an idol. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Whatever you attach to that steals your joy, unattach. Don't give it your focus. Amen? Now, if the fire and the joy of our worship draws people to God's presence, the opposite is true. Who is inspired by boredom and apathy? And this kind of, you know, I'd say to the reindeer, "Why the long face?" You know. If you're scowling, frowning, and yawning, how is that attractive to non-believers? I say cold is not bold, but a fire is bold. Now, as long as I'm getting personal, can I step in a little closer? I want to speak to parents. Parents, your kids watch whether or not you're a worshiper. Your kids watch your face. Cameron told me when he was little that he was in love with Rachel Ray because she had a smiley face and she cooked great food. Smiles are attractive. When we smile because we're grateful, when we smile because we're thankful, when we smile because we get to be with God, when we smile because we get to come to church, when we smile because it's that time, it's that incredible time where the praise ramps up and we get to do this thing called church. Our kids are watching. Do you have the same excitement for church as you do the playoff games or a great movie? Do you prepare for a Sunday morning the same way you do a big vacation? Did you know that there was even preparation that needs to happen before a church service? Do your kids see you prepare your tithes and your offerings before Sunday morning? Have you talked to them about how God has given you everything you have? And he's asking for that 10%. And then he's asking for offerings. 10% isn't generous. 10% is what belongs to him. Anything above 10% is generous. But have you taught your children how to prepare? How to get their hearts ready to come to church? To be in God's presence? Do your children see faithfulness in you? See, our kids, things are caught more than they're taught, right? And they'll watch our faithfulness. They'll watch our joyful generosity. They'll watch our love for God, our love for the church. And they'll begin to emulate it. The second thing is that spiritually saved people are sent out from a worship service to share Christ. Through worship, lost people are drawn to Christ, but at the same time, While a believer is in praise and worship, they will feel a tug. They will feel an urge, a compelling force from God to tell others about Him. If you look back at the diagram, you'll see that worship draws you in, but then it flows out to where you just got to tell somebody the great thing that God did in your heart at the church service. You've got to tell someone. Friday, I was flying in from Los Angeles doing the last touches on this Take It to the World CD. And I sat next to a lady and I said, "What is your name?" And she told me, "Allison." I said, "Oh, that's a beautiful name." I said, "Tell me about yourself, Allison." And she started crying. And she started pouring her heart out of the hurts in her life. And then she said, "Oh, I'm taking up all the time. What do you do?" I said, "Well, I live to praise the Lord." And I took her hands. I said, "I live to touch people and tell them Jesus loves you. I live to write a song that tells the world of His love and His kindness and His mercy. I said, I live to sit next to people like you and to look you in the eye and tell you, you are a treasure to God." She's going to go back to church. I can't help it. How about you? I can't help it. I'm compelled. I've only got so much time. Your experiencing in worshiping God is supposed to make you want to tell others what God did in you. And I told Allison, "He rescued me from darkness. He rescued me from depression. And He set my feet upon a rock. And He gave me a beautiful life. And He gave me a husband that loves the Lord. And He gives me a husband that empowers me to tell of His goodness." I said, "When you're in God's presence, it's good. It's good." And I said, "Try to let go of your hurts. Try to forgive. Give it to Jesus so that you can be happy." And we prayed. Isaiah chapter 6, and we're closing with this, and then we're going to get to practice our praise and worship. Amen. Isaiah 6, 1, 5, and 8, I'm going to skip around a little bit, says, "I saw the Lord seated on high and lofty throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple with glory." Isaiah said in verse 5, "My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." In verse 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Who should I send? Who will go for us?' And Isaiah said, 'Here I am. Pick me. Send me.'" Isaiah was commissioned to go speak to his people only after he saw the Lord in worship. I was in worship when God commissioned me to full-time ministry. Isaiah saw, he heard, and he responded. But if he had not entered into worship, he would have missed the calling of God on his life. Do you see how important it is to come to church and to come and worship? Did you know that God uses people not that think, "Well, I'm only here because this church needs me. I have a real gift set. Everywhere I go, it's better." You know, God really doesn't work through people like that. God works through people that say, "I am desperate to be in your presence, God. And without you, I would be lost and broken. But when I hang on to you with all that I've got, my life is so meaningful." See, Isaiah, the first thing that happened when he was in the presence of the Lord, he said, "Woe is me. I'm a man with unclean lips." He knew that many times He said the wrong thing. Can anybody attest to that? He, especially in a hard time, he would say the wrong things. And he said, wow, Lord, if you're going to use me, you've got to clean me up. His first response to the presence of God with humility. People that won't say they're sorry or say they've done wrong, they're dangerous. Don't empower them. God won't. It's empowering rebellion. Isaiah fell to the ground and he said, I am a man of unclean lips. The angel came with a coal and he touched his lips because what? Isaiah had been praising the Lord. The presence of the Lord came like fire, cleaned up his mouth, which is a sign of spiritual maturity, and then sent him out. He sent him out. Here's what you can do to be a powerful praise and worshiper. You can plan ahead to be on time. Now, this is hard for me. I do too much in a little amount of time. Anybody clutter their time? I do. And the Lord tells me, distill it down, Luann, and be on time. Find a seat and prepare your heart to have an encounter with the King of Kings. Prepare your offerings and your tithes during the week. Add up how God's blessed you, what he's given you. Prepare. Prepare. Don't just throw him a tip. Think about his glory. Think about what he's done for you. Think about what he's given you. Add it up and give him his due. Prepare yourself to meet with him during prayers and worship. Ask him during the songs to plow open your heart, to tenderize the heart that Satan wants to make hard, so that when the sermon, the seed of the word goes in, it goes into a tender soil where it can shoot up. And then get ready for the king to show up and show out, right? All right, now these are the two challenges I want to leave you with, and if you can write them down, that'd be great. Because Pastor Ed's going to give you a test. No, I'm teasing. Come to celebrate. Come to celebrate. Tell God, Lord, take my anxieties, take my fears, take the cares of the world, God, because I want to be a party person. I want the fire of God to be attractive to others. God, I want to celebrate your mercy, your grace, your love, your forgiveness. God, you lifted me out of a pit and you set my feet upon a rock. I want to celebrate that. God, I want to receive your provision and your vision for my life while I'm worshiping. And get ready to sing to him a hymn of praise. That's the arrow that goes on the left. The second thing I want you to do after you've prepared yourself to celebrate is when you leave church, talk about it. Talk about what he did. See, a true worshiper doesn't just enjoy it for themselves, they give it away. And ask God for the fire of the Spirit to burn in you, and for his glorious presence to glow in you. And guess what? God can use the worship of this church to start a revival fire. Do you trust him? Do you believe him? Are you ready? I'm pumped up. I'm going to be up here singing with all my heart. I want to tell you something. This church is known. This church is known as a place where people love to praise the Lord. It is known for a place where people are free. So you have freedom here to praise him, to love him, to let the fire of the Holy Spirit stir up in you. And let me tell you something, you will become attractive, all right? Can you close your eyes? Father God, you're amazing. You're incredible. You're worthy to be praised. And I'm so grateful that you looked down on a little girl that was a mess. You looked down on a lady that Satan tried to just take everything I had. But you were true to your word, God. When I cried out to you, when I cried out to you in a voice and I said, I need you, you were there. And you've been faithful every day of my life. And I give you praise and glory. I give you honor. I love you, God. I love you. And I thank you for every person in this church today. I thank you for the privilege, the honor, the joy to talk about worship. I thank you, God, for this season of joy, the season of harvest, the season of rain, the season of goodness. And God, I thank you for what you're doing in every person's life. I thank you that you're faithful to them. And Lord, even today, there could be someone, they've come to church, but they haven't made that decision. You're knocking on the door of their heart. You're asking to come in and fellowship and to be their Lord, to be the one that they turn from the world and they give you their devotion. They give you their praise. They live their life to give you glory and to praise you. And Father, I want to give a chance for anyone today that has either been far from you and wants to come back or wants to become your child, make that decision for the first time today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want to make Jesus your Savior and your Lord today, you can just slip your hand up and I'll pray that prayer with you. I see that hand. If there's anyone else, and you just can feel Jesus knocking on the door of your heart. Church, let's pray that prayer with them. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. And I forgive those who have hurt me. I receive salvation. It's a gift of grace. I put my faith in you. And today I declare I was created to praise and worship you. In Jesus' name. I also want to give you a chance. God says, if you're bold for him, he'll be bold for you. And today, if you have decided that you are going to worship him more and more, that you are going to be a person that prepares their heart for worship, not just when they go to church, but when they wake up, that it's going to become more a part of your life, I just want you to stand. And I just want you to be bold for God, that you are making that decision for him. If you want to do that, you can stand. If you don't feel it, you don't have to do it. God can start a fire with that. God can start a fire with those that are standing. Let's lift our hands to him. It's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of honor. And it's a sign of receiving. And the Bible says it's actually holy hands that are lifted to the King. God, I pray for each person in this room that is standing for their King, that has made that decision, that they will honor him, that they will decide, even on a difficult day, to be a person that gives glory, honor, and praise to you. We pray an anointing on each decision. And when the devil tries to bring discouragement, let him turn on the praise music. Let him turn on teaching music and fight the devil with what makes him flee. And that's the word either sung or spoken. And God, we just pray a blessing on your people in Jesus' name. Amen.